It's an autumnal evening. It gets dark around about past 4 or 5 o'clock, doesn't it? What can you do? You pull the curtains, make yourself cosy, get the radio on, maybe a bit of television. Snuggle up on the sofa with your nearest and dearest. That's where the problem comes, you see. Snuggling up on the sofa with your nearest and dearest. Not your nearest and dearest. It's the sofa, Alex Newton, isn't it? It's the sofa that can be a problem for people and their backs. I know this because mine is a problem.
Yes, I think that's why we're talking about it today, isn't it? Because you keep telling me about your poor sofa. yes, we it's one of those sort of neglected things, a bit like the bed, isn't it? They can be very old, and the soggier, the saggier, they seem to be more appealing, but actually playing havoc with people's spines. And the other time is coming up this time of year when you're coming up to Christmas, when you're spending a bit more time at other people's houses and relatives, and their sofas probably aren't very good for you either, because it's not good for your posture. So we really have to look at the posture, really, and make sure that we're supporting those curves of the spine. We've got a little curve in the back of the neck, and we've got a bigger curve in the small of your back, and we need to make sure that those two curves are supported correctly, because that's how the spine works more efficiently, and that's where the joints are in neutral, the discs aren't having too much pressure on them, and the nerves, the muscles aren't overstretched. So it's all about supporting those special curves. So soft sofas definitely don't do that.
What's it like going shopping for furniture with you, Alexa?
Well, it doesn't happen very often, but yes, I have to sort of try out. It's all about, I mean, not just me, but everybody should go out and try it out. Beds or sofas, you can't, it's not a snap decision. It's something that you've got to sort of decipher and try out, and try lots of different ones. But, you've got to think about different scenarios. Do I want to sit and talk to friends on it, or do I want to relax watching the telly, or do I want to recline on it, or, how are you going to mostly be using that sofa to its advantage, and therefore, how am I going to sit, and what's my posture going to be like on it, rather than does it fit in my room, and is the colour right, and is it the right fabric? They're things I think that we find more important rather than the support of our spines. I think
fitting in the room is pretty important, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, fit right in the room if it's the right size or shape. Or you're being a bit facetious now. Okay, right. Okay.
No, because there are two strands here that I can see. One is what to do with a sofa or an armchair that started to show signs of wear. Mm-hmm. And then there's the what you look for when you're buying a new piece of furniture. Now, it is interesting to me that I seldom go anywhere and sit on anybody else's furniture and think, wow, you've got a very comfortable sofa. More often than not, I sit, even if it's a relatively new one, and think, I wouldn't have had this one. But we'll come on to that in a bit. What about my sagging sofa? Where I sit, I've had a look since you were last in. I've lifted the cushions on which I sit, and underneath that is what would appear to be foam stretched across a wooden frame. But at the end where I sit, the foam has kind of pulled away from the wooden frame. So now that edge sinks down slightly when I sit on it. So instead of it being a nice taut foam layer that the cushion then sits on and is self-supported, the cushion is able to dip down to one side, to my left-hand side.
I think one of the problems is that we're a bit creatures of habit, aren't we? So we always sit on the same part of the sofa, in the same way.
Yeah.
So that bit always gets, the middle bit of the sofa never gets, it's always a bit puffier, isn't it? A bit more raised, because nobody ever sits in the middle bit of the sofa, do they? Everybody sits on the edges where the arm rests are. So we all sit on the edges so the middle cushions don't get so compressed. If you've got the luxury of swapping the middle cushion with the edged cushions, that's an option. It sounds like the foam underneath there really needs replacing, perhaps, and maybe even a board underneath, a bit of plywood there. Get your old saw out and chop it up and stick it underneath, and put a bit of boarding under there to support those slats underneath. And then maybe go to the market, get a bit of foam off the market, and rebuild it a little bit. It doesn't necessarily have to be a whole new sofa. It may be some cosmetic stuff that you can do.
So I did find some foam and cut a piece, a sort of strip, to go into the edge where it would have, where it's sort of sunken a bit. I wasn't sure whether I should put in a whole sort of square of foam or just a strip where it's gone down a bit. This is more furniture repair.
Yeah,
than,
you see, I'm not in. This is not. Yeah, I'm more thinking about how you're going to sit on it rather than what you're going to do to repair it.
Actually, it would be fantastic if we had you and a furniture restorer together. Think of what we could achieve then.
That's good for next month.
Yeah. So the alerts that came. This was really interesting. Now I'm fascinated by this. Last time you were in, Alex, and I can't remember if this was on the radio or not, I referred to always crossing my legs, and you said, well, you shouldn't cross your legs. And I said, well, when I'm sat at home on the sofa, I have to cross my legs. At which point you said, there's something wrong with your sofa. At which point I went home and found that there was something wrong with my sofa.
There you go. You see, I have, you know, bionic powers of what's happened behind the scenes there. But
it's experience, isn't it? You're
sitting like that because the sofa's not level, it's not comfortable. So you sort of roll your hips, if you like, by crossing your legs into that hollow that you've... you're crossing probably, I don't know which side that the sofa has collapsed on, but you're crossing your leg into that to sort of... because you're being rolled and you're being forced into that. So subconsciously, your brain's saying, actually, you know, this is sagging here. So I need to either go with the flow or I need to work against it. Well, it's hard to work against it. So you'll sit into it. We always go into the concavity, isn't it? We sort of go into the hollow there, if you like. But we really need to think about not sitting with our legs crossed when we're on the sofa. And one of the biggest problems is often the sofas are too low. So just building it up with a couple of cushions. You don't have to go out and get some foam off the market or wherever, but some cushions underneath your bottom just to lift you up higher. And then, as we were talking earlier about those hollow curves in the spine, some pillows or cushions behind the small of your back to restore that curvature there. And then up in the top of the neck and shoulder area, then perhaps a smaller cushion so that you've got that neutral spine position. I always recommend that when you're on the sofa sitting upright like that, try and think about making sure your knees are below your hips. It's a common phrase that chiropractors use, because we know if our knees are below our hips, then our spine is much more in a neutral position because it rolls the pelvis forward, so forcing the hollowness in the lower back. So if you sort of extend your legs out in front of you and perhaps cross them at the ankles with them out in front of you, a small footstool is an option. And pouffe perhaps not so good, because that's going to be more in line with the sofa itself. So your legs then, your knees then tend to come up above the hips, which again is going to create a lot more pressure on the small of your back because it rounds the back again. So sitting square on, semi-recumbent, legs out straight, either in front of you with your ankles crossed or a small footstool would be ideal to sort of maintain that semi-recumbent shaped spinal curvature there. But if you've got a low sofa, raise it up.
There are things that you can do to ensure that your sofa isn't giving you a bad back. And so we'll, after the Lighthouse Family, talk about how to ensure that your new furniture isn't giving you any jip. Alex Newton, Beeston Chiropractor, talking about keeping your back straight, good posture, sitting comfortably as you go into the winter, these long evenings. I mean, it is lovely to think about getting home from work and just, you know, cozying up and cuddling up, maybe if you've got somebody to cuddle up with, or surrounding yourself with cushions. But I suppose the problem is that you just could end up in a bad twist without realising is the trick to make sure you're getting up every now and then. And doesn't matter how badly you're sitting, you're going to move yourself out of it.
Yes, it's all about timing, as it is when you're sitting at work. We need to make sure that we are very disciplined, and perhaps you, as we mentioned earlier, see watch a station that's got commercial breaks in it, that you can actually then use that as a guide to actually 10-15 minutes I need to either move or stand up and sit down. Just the actual action of standing up and sitting down is a fantastic reset, because you don't just sort of slide into those uncomfortable positions. So just be very mindful of that. So even if you have got a good posture and you're sitting there well supported, you still need to move out a little bit.
So the idea of buying new furniture may be something that people will do after Christmas. You always get the big sales. See, I think people spend not very much time buying furniture. Is it, you know, they'll sit on it in the shop. Oh, this is quite nice, isn't it? Come and sit on this one. And oh, yeah, this is all right, yeah. And that's about it, isn't it? That's about as much as...
I think the problem that we have is we've got too much choice, haven't we? Mm. There's vast numbers of sofas and vast numbers of shops. You know, it's not, you know, at one time you went to one shop and you had three or four perhaps to choose from, and you pick the one that, as I said, either fitted in the room or went with the decor. But you know, now they can make them in any shape, size and colour that you want, and extendables and add-ons and all sorts of things. So I think as society we have too much choice, and I think that can be a problem on its own. But it's all about thinking about how, as I said before, how you're going to sit on it. Am I going to, you know, is it in a room that's going to be just sitting there, you know, to sort of talk and converse with people, or am I going to be actually just relaxing onto the settee with that, and they're in front of the television, or relaxing reading, and therefore, what sort of support do I need? And the fabric is quite important as well, because if you remember the old fashioned, like the Oxford, is it the Oxford where you get the leather settee and the leather sofas, and obviously a lot of the leather sofas there, you've got to think about friction's a big thing when you're sitting, whether you can actually slip sliding along on that settee, or if you've got a more fabric based settee, you've got much more contact there, so the friction's higher there, and it's much better for holding posture rather than slip sliding about, which will happen on a leather settee.
Right. You may not want to hear this. Somebody's texted in about leather settees. I had a lovely, soft, cosy sofa. The wife wanted a cold leather one. I had to keep my pants on that.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's slippy slidey, I think, or cold on a leather
cold
one.
I think it was cold.
I think all round your wife did the right thing there, if it means you keep your pants on. Yeah. Anonymous text.
I don't really think we want to go there.
No, sorry.
Thank you.
Just the sofas. There is a dimension to the back of a sofa or a chair, and there is a dimension to the bit that you sit on. Is there an easy way of working out, if I know how long it is from my hip to my knee, do I know how big my seating piece needs to be on it?
Well, some of them
sofa
can be quite long, and if you've got quite short legs, then you're going to have problems.
That's, I think, the problem that comes.
Yeah, a couple of things that you can do there. Again, put the pillows in the back of your spine, support the spine, which also shoves you forward a little bit. Mm. Or one thing that used to smile, because my grandma used to do it, was to, if the old-fashioned sittees, used to lift the cushion up, because it used to be a loose cushion, and then you could sit on the harder bit and put a cushion on there. So the height from the floor to the edge of the seat was reduced for her, because she had little legs, and then the back of the seat was pushed forward because she tilted the seat cushion up behind her. So just think about just changing the dynamics and the dimensions there by adding pillows and footstools again, something underneath your feet, as long as your knees are below your hips, that's a really good way to do it. And then the other thing is, if you've got that, you're obliged because you're sat in somebody else's house and you think, gosh, this sofa's really, really uncomfortable, you can use what we call the sit stack position. So you can sit right on the edge of the sofa and put your bum on the wooden frame at the front there. So you're sitting right forward. You'll drop your knees down below you and either cross your feet at the ankles, or bring your feet behind you underneath the sofa is the option to do that. So you're actually sitting on your haunches. You're sitting on the edge of the sofa. So you're sort of perched on the edge, and that's an excellent position for the spine when you're sort of sit there poised talking to someone. It's not going to be great for sitting back and relaxing, but it might get you out of some trouble if you are subjected to that uncomfy sofa at auntie's house over the Christmas period.
Of course, everybody's now going to be on the lookout for how their guests sit on their sofas over Christmas, and if they see them perching on the edge, they'll know. Right, a couple of other bits and pieces. This time of year, getting cold and damp, people say their joints tend to hurt a bit more. Is there a reason for that, a rationale to all of that?
Well, there's not been very much research on that, which surprises me, really. So that's something we ought to get on with as any profession. But everybody complains about this cold and wet and damp weather making their joints hurt. Now, I believe, I'm no meteorologist, but I believe it's something to do with a change in the pressure. As we get colder, the air pressure reduces, so we get lower pressure. This, in turn, apparently causes your joints to swell a little bit, and that makes them hurt a bit more. Mm. So the way to get around that is to keep moving, keep them mobile, keep doing your yoga and your activities, and because we do have a tendency to do less and hibernate a little bit over the winter, but keep a bit more active, keep them warm, and keep everything stretched out. But it's all about keeping them warm and keeping them moving will help reduce that pain and disperse some inflammation that might be occurring around the joints as well.
And a note here on the subject of sofas and armchairs, what about a chaise longue? That's a sort of bed come sofa where you would lie and sit in a way. I suppose the easiest thing to compare it to would be like a reclining chair where you've got somewhere for your legs to stretch out but support for your back. Is that a good thing?
I think we're two different types of chair there. Chaise longue reminds me of something that you would sort of literally lie sideways on and eat grapes from, perhaps, or whatever. But that side saddle lying, that lying like when that. You're putting weight onto one hip, curling your legs up to the side of you or feet underneath you, again, very bad for the spine, twisting the spine, twisting the pelvis. If you're going to do it for just a few minutes and then swap perhaps to the other side. Keep it fluid, keep it mobile. But your reclining chair is a different ball game altogether. They I do approve of. And, you know, because you're going to recline in that semi-recumbent position, pushing the chair back and raising your legs a little bit, but not too high, the back reclines behind you. But obviously the downside of that is whether you've got the room in your lounge to actually achieve that, because you need room at the back of your settee as well as the front to allow that to happen. But that would be, in an ideal world, we should all be reclined nicely on one of those to support our spines.
Always informative, instructive, and I hope pain relieving when you hear Alex Newton on the radio. Thank you very much indeed. Beeston chiropractor. And Alex, I think you'll be back before Christmas, won't you?
I certainly am.
Yeah, good stuff. So we'll have some festive thoughts next time